My name is Deandra Poe, and I'm the founder of Glass Soldier, a duty-bound and data-driven nonprofit dedicated to the elimination of sexual assault in the U.S. Armed Forces. In this podcast, we will explore the pervasive culture of military sexual trauma and how we, as a collective, can change it.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Duty Bound Episode 3. So today, we're going to be talking about smoke and misdirection. That's, you know, considering that most of my audience is probably military. Even if you're not, you understand the idea of smoke and mirrors and basically what that means. So we are going to talk about the Fort Hood Review. I realize that this, you know, this dive that we're about to go in is a bit after the fact, but I'm going to give you my opinion on it anyway and get into some of the things that they said. But of course, I want to talk about how this relates to me. Storytelling is so important. It's important for the person. It's important for the audience to understand, especially for this podcast, how I connect it all and how this is, in a way, hoping that this will help someone else as well, whoever's listening. So when I first got to Fort Hood, I was assigned to the 36th Engineers. And I'm going to say this because I love them. I was kind of excited to be starting over and away from the mess that I was in at my previous unit. So when I got there, it's funny because they told me like 5 days after I arrived there, I was going to have to take a PT test and I was not ready. But either way, there was a lot going on in that unit. I was going straight to the brigade. They were about to deploy. A unit was about to deploy. And I was still having constant contact with the victim advocates and the council back at Fort Stewart. I was in constant contact with them. So when I got there, I want to say within days, I had to do an office call immediately with the brigade commander, who was nothing short of amazing the entire time that I was there. He wound up being one of my biggest allies when it came down to later on in the line. And, you know, eventually I'll get to that story. However, it made me feel like I was being singled out. So, you know, the conversation goes, I know why you're here. In a sense, you know, without saying anything, it was very, what's the word I want to use? Soft gloved. If that's a word, if you understand what I'm saying. They were approaching me with eggshells. And again, I'm navigating a whole new experience. I have no idea. For me, in my mind, I'm ready to try my best to not allow any of this to come to the forefront. Like, there wasn't any gag orders or anything like that. I was never told don't talk to anyone or say anything to anyone. But I was very much trying to be very private about this as much as I possibly could. So, you know, I was sent to a position in the G4 working with, again, some really good people. I didn't have a bad experience per se with the engineers. However, the entire time that I was there, there was just a part of this that there was things going on in the background that I was not aware of that would eventually come back to hurt me. Because they were being so cautious and not wanting to stir the pot with what was going on at Fort Hood, and also not wanting to make me upset or anything. Like it literally felt like that sometimes. Like if I had a problem, it was, you know, it was always just yes. It just, again, unbeknownst to me, had no idea the things that were going on in the background. So smoke and misdirection. And it, again, not in a bad way. So the things that were, that I thought were, they were taking this amazing approach to me, like I wasn't allowed to deploy. Deployment came up. They were, nope, can't deploy. You haven't gone to trial yet. We need you here. This can't happen without you here. I was constantly being watched. If something happened, if there was a disagreement or something that happened with me and someone else, you know, are you doing okay? I was going to counseling and they knew that. There were never any issues like that. Anything came up with my health, immediately I was given an opportunity. And again, I'm not saying that was a bad thing. What that wind up doing was making me look like I had put that uniform on and did absolutely nothing for the first couple of years. No deployments, no hard assignments. There were just times where I was sitting around for hours and sometimes like every day, really trying to figure out what my job was as a logistics person. And again, not having the proper guidance to really, you know, understand why I was being watched and cared for so carefully. So I say that to, for in the eyes and the mindset of someone wearing that uniform, that's not going to be the case everywhere. And I went to Fort Hood with the mindset that every unit is not going to be like what happened to me at Fort Stewart. I was looking forward to healing, to moving forward, but it was a frustrating process. I got to Hood in 2002. My trial was not until 2014. So there was many months of back and forth. I had to go on leave to go back to Stewart several times while I was there with no questions asked, you know, by anyone. And there were times when, you know, change of leadership came around. People questioned, you know, what was going on with me and couldn't say anything. Or, you know, they were dealt with if they asked questions. I had some really good leadership that just was treating this with the respect that it should have been treated with, that I didn't get at Stewart, but detrimental also in terms of my career. So I didn't know what to do. And I honestly, if someone was going through this right now and they're like, what do? I think if you were in the mentality that you are like, I can still do my job, if your mental health is not getting in the way and you feel like you've come a long way in your healing process and you're like, yes, I still want to go forward with my trial and I still want to see this brought to justice and you want to fight, absolutely. But also remember and keep in mind that there are people that are privy to this information that may be approaching this from the, we, you know, the very sensitive nature of it all and protecting you, but your career still has to progress. You still have to make all those markers. And, you know, if you're going to go to a KD position or if you've got schools that you have to go to and things like that, there's a balance that has to be outlined for yourself and with your command to really understand that that's going to come from some serious transformative leadership. And that's a whole nother episode about transformative leadership. I think I was extremely lucky when I was with the engineers that I had a leader that was like that. But on paper, it doesn't look that way. And for other people, it didn't look that way. So back to the Fort Hood review, because there's so much to unpack here. It's 152 pages, give or take the title page, you know, thank yous and blah, blah, blah. 152 pages. So let's go over some key highlights. First, you know, in the first couple of pages, some things stuck out to me during the Fort Hood review, and they were using language like permissive environment for sexual harassment, sexual assault. Permissive environment for sexual harassment and sexual assault. I don't know what anybody else, but those literal words are enough for me to understand, and the general public to understand, that permissive means allowable. Allowable environment for sexual assault and sexual harassment. And while we all remember that they claim that they use the word fire, but military personnel knows that they're not technically fired from their positions, relieved of their duty. Permissible environment means leadership. Command dictates the environment. And if they use the words permissible environment, that means that everyone, the whole climate there at Fort Hood. Now, I won't say the whole climate, because again, I was with the engineers. I never felt like that was the case there ever in that environment. So with that being said, they mostly looked at 1st Cav and 3CR. Interestingly enough, 1st Cav and 3CR, because they're the largest units there on Fort Hood. I was not surprised at all. Of the 600 and I think 50 something soldiers and civilians that they interviewed, the Fort Hood community, mostly Cav and 3CR. So I got my notes here. The other language that they used that jumped out to me was, the SHARP program was chronically under-resourced, meaning they didn't have enough people or the right people to really take this program or use this program the way that it should be intended. The SHARP program is intended to train and educate. But let's be honest, soldiers should not be victim advocates. I think it's been said across the board, it's been said too many times. Everyone knows that victim advocates, especially green suiters, are soldiers who are basically given a hey you. Hey you, you need points for the board. Hey you, you've got to be promoted. Or hey you, this would look good on your ERB or ORB. You're going to be a SHARP. 2-week training is not enough to have soldiers sit across from another fellow soldier and listen to them chronicle probably the worst moment in their lives. 2 weeks is not enough training. And I'm saying that from a social worker's perspective here, not even just from a soldier's perspective, from a social worker's perspective here. To be able to sit and have the knowledge, the forethought, and the training to be able to deal with the type of things that are said when someone says, I've been assaulted, whether it's a pat on the behind or a brutal rape. And to have another soldier to supposedly be trained to do this, to me, is the most asinine thing that I've ever heard. It doesn't make any sense. You will never go into a doctor's office and have the secretary who just took a 2-week course on how to administer medication give you your medication. You're never going to work into a professional setting and say, hey, my janitor here has been working with our company for a long time. He knows the ins and outs. He's been around here. We just gave him a 2-week training. He's going to help you with your website. It's just not going to happen. To me, that's the equivalent, because when you take a regular Joe whose whole job was to be a mechanic or whatever job you want to pick for the military, I don't care. But to send them off to SHARP training for 2 weeks and say, here, you can take a report. You can sit and listen. If a soldier comes in, yes, I understand. They are typically passed to someone who has more training, but you are still putting that soldier in harm's way. It's a lot to take on to have to sit and take a report from someone who's just been assaulted. Not just for the person coming forward, but to just take that on. There's a reason why therapists need therapists. The other thing, So DES, the Directorate of Emergency Services and CID, contributed very little to the analysis. And they basically went on to say that CID and the DES really weren't contributing at all to the SHARP program. They weren't giving feedback. They weren't collecting information, really didn't know what was going on, which is odd because CID are the ones who do the investigations. So that kind of blew my mind. What do you even do with that information? How does, you know, a whole entity that is a part of the program, that's a step, a cog in the wheel to go from reporting to investigating to court or conviction, not contribute? Okay, so they had 9 key findings, 9 of them. Let's see. The number one, the implementation of the SHARP program at Fort Hood has been ineffective due to a command climate that failed to instill SHARP program core values below the brigade level. So this one, I believe in this one, they said that the SHARP program manager was responsible for the awareness and cultural posture. Sir, I respectfully disagree. The SHARP program manager should not be responsible for the cultural posture of the command. That makes no sense. They're not the ones that set the tone. The commanders do. The leaders do. NCOs, senior NCOs, senior officers, junior officers, it doesn't matter. Platoon leader, platoon sergeant, they set the environment. That was just, to me, a lot to put on a SHARP program manager. Then they said that the report should be semi-annual without the subject, victim, or unit. I'm not exactly sure. I've said this before, that the Army, the Department of Defense, already withholds certain information when it comes to the sexual assault reports to the general public. So now they want to withhold the subject, the victim, and the unit. Why? How are you supposed to get to where the problem is if you remove this information? That makes zero sense to me. Again, unless I'm misunderstanding, and I'm hoping that one day I have a conversation with someone within the Department of Defense, or somebody else can come on here and correct me if I'm wrong. How are we supposed to get to the problem when you want to remove the information that can get to the problem? If there is a unit, a particular unit that has a particular problem, the only way that you're going to be able to quantify culture is by leaving that information in there and allowing the analysis, the proper analysis of where this is happening. Secondly, they said the Army has a history of forward thinking on social issues. Again, question mark. I think when it comes to equal pay for women, the Army has forward thinking when it comes to social issues. However, when we think about how many women are in positions of command and influence, 4 stars, 3 stars, combat roles, that's just about happening, like, now in history. So I'm not ready to jump on that train to say forward thinking when it comes to social issues. The Army is a microcosm of our society at large. And because the Army is comprised of an all-volunteer army of people that come from all walks of life, you are going to have all walks of problems. And that includes everything. That includes classism, racism, sexism. So back to these 9 key findings. 2, there's a strong evidence that indicates sexual assault and sexual harassment at Fort Hood are significantly underreported. The Army SHARP program is structurally flawed. The CID office had various inefficiencies. The mechanics of the Army's adjudication process involving sexual assault and harassment degrade confidence. Fort Hood Public Relations and Incident Management Office had deficiencies. There were no established procedures for first-line supervisors for failure to report. The criminal environment within surrounding cities and counties is consummate with or lower than similar-sized areas. And the command climate at Fort Hood has been permissive of sexual assault and sexual harassment. I said that before. That was one of the biggest things. So back to my notes. The review was done by government officials. Again, they went to Fort Hood and interviewed like over 600 soldiers. And then they used command climates. I love how they're still doing this, even though it has already been statistically proven that command climate surveys do not accurately reflect soldiers being truthful about what's going on. It's clear. It's clear as day. Like, I don't even understand how we're still using command climate surveys. What stuck out to me was that they interviewed these soldiers and they had to do it and they put it in the report away from their units. Like, it had to be in a confidential location so that their units weren't aware, so that they knew that they weren't, you know, willingly coming forward or, you know, willingly putting information out there. Why? I don't know that anyone else is thinking this, and I'm pretty sure someone else is thinking this. I fail to believe I'm the only person that's asking this question. Why do I have to leave my unit in order for me to speak the truth? That alone, the fact that you had to set up a situation like that for soldiers to have to go away from their unit so no one would see them, as if they're in some kind of witness protection program, in order for them to speak their truth about what is going on there, speaks volumes. Volumes. Again, mostly Cavins, 3CR. They cited sources, and I love how they said various media sources about sexual harassment, sexual assault. But the analysis was done by the Army, the Department of the Army, the DOD. So when they said independent review, it doesn't seem independent to me, independent of, you know, the Army. There was so much to unpack and all that, and it was just a lot to really try to understand. Fort Hood is not an anomaly. These same issues, I guarantee you, are happening at other posts. So they do this independent review of Fort Hood and these gestures of, we're going to get to the bottom of this. And I think the pressure from social media to do something on the heels of this young lady's brutal murder, unnecessary murder, preventable murder, is now the smoke. So if it wasn't for her mother and her sister being just absolute, like, I don't even know what words I'm looking for, but they just were resilient in saying that my daughter is missing. Something has happened to her. This is not normal. And I'm not going to be quiet. If it wasn't for them raising the flag, raising the bar, raising like the fire, then this probably would still be going on. And unfortunately, the other young man that they found inadvertently trying to look for her, misdirection, because his story just did not get the time that it deserved either. And I think a lot of people at the time were just like, how many bodies are buried on Fort Hood? How many soldiers have gone missing on Fort Hood? But her untimely and just unfortunate death led to the smoke again. So here we are. The I Am Vanessa Gillian Act proposed last year, sitting at the House, with a lot of things that people are asking for, a lot of things that this review probably brought to the forefront. The review was done around the same time and coming out. So we have a new Secretary of Defense, Mr. Austin, and Protect Our Defenders had an opportunity to ask him, you know, are you willing to allow for outside entities, you know, to help with the investigations or the prosecutions of sexual assault and sexual harassment? And his answer was, we're going to work with commanders. Here comes the misdirection. So that to me was like the broadest and most political answer that he could possibly get. He was definitely not going to say yes. And I don't think that I personally don't think that we're going to get a yes. I think it can happen. I believe that it should happen. Just not sure that it's going to happen with this administration either. Because there's a lot of good talking points, but there's no action behind it. And that's the whole point of me saying that this is just smoke and misdirection again. Because for years, between the SHARP training, the bystander intervention training, the vignettes that have been on the computers for soldiers to go and take and learn about sexual assault and sexual harassment, statistically have done nothing to stop sexual assault and sexual harassment because the environment has not changed. Because leaders are still not being held accountable. And when you have soldiers, people that are volunteering to come into this army that are looking to have some kind of moral code, that they have none, and they come in looking for their leaders to give them some kind of moral compass, and the environment is permissible for sexual assault and sexual harassment, then it will continue. When you don't hold every single person accountable for every single act, it will continue. The continuum of harm theory literally posits that things that are small incidents left unchecked will lead to larger and more deadly, more abusive incidents. So when you don't have a leader who's willing to check the small infraction at the lowest level, it just continues to move up. That person now has made rank. And the more senior they get, the more they get away with it. Stop allowing colonels, lieutenant colonels, majors, sergeant majors, master sergeants to retire when they've been caught. Stop giving them a way out when it's been proven that they've done something wrong. Moral character does not equal good order and discipline, and vice versa. We need to hold every single leader accountable, or when the smoke clears, we're going to wind up with another Vanessa, and dare I say, another Lavinia Johnson. Stay safe out there, guys. I will see you next week's episode.